Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today's Beyond the Darkness is brought to you by Bombas Socks. We all love to refresh our snack drawers, but when's the last time you refreshed your sock drawer? Well, if you can't remember, probably time for an upgrade, huh? Bombas Socks are made with comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. All socks speak for super comfortable. They all come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids. Let me tell you about Bombas socks. First of all, folks, I had a bunch of diabetic socks in my sock drawer. I've practically gotten rid of almost all of them, and right now, I have plenty of Bombas socks. They're soft, they're comfortable, they don't bunch up real hard around the ankles and leave marks in my little delicate diabetic ankles and feet. They're absolutely perfect. I tell you, I recommend Bombas to everyone who has diabetic foot issues and foot problems. Bombas are perfect for diabetic feet. Bombas has a new line of merino wool socks that are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking merino wool, designed with all the Bombas classic comfort features. From cool and dry on your morning run to staying comfortable in your office's freezing air conditioning, Bombas socks are ready to work as hard as you do. And for every pair of socks you buy, this is the great part. And this is why Beyond the Darkness likes to support Bombas. Bombas will donate a pair for someone in need. Bombas are what your feet daydream about. I know my feet daydream about it. Simply buy your Bombas at bombas.com/darkness today. And here's the great thing. You get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/darkness. And you'll get 20% off. bombas.com/darkness. Get 20% off. Do it today.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome into the program, folks. It's Saturday Supernatural News, and I got a surprise for you right across the board. It's Miss Mally Fox. Hi, Mally.
Hey.
I'm so glad to have you here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
We have Dave off gallivanting around France, breaking down our friendship with France.
breaking down the friendship.
Yeah. They're never going to be friends with us again after having Mr.
Not.
Schrader there. There'll probably be one or two new Schraders there as well.
Well, he is pretty potent, isn't he?
Yeah. He'll probably brush up against one or two French ladies, and before we know it, we'll have new Schraders everywhere.
Yeah. I'm sure he's having fun, and so is everybody else on his little tour.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to know where you can check us out around the United States and around the world, just go to darknessevents.com. Or if you have that brand new Beyond the Darkness app, I'm sorry, it's Darkness Radio app. It's not a Beyond the Darkness app, but Darkness Radio app on iPhone. It's on iPhone now.
Wow, you guys are getting fancy.
Well, you know, we're trying. just go to the App Store on iTunes. iTunes, that's what they call it, the App Store. You go to the App Store on the iPhone. I have one right here. I should know.
Yeah.
Just download Scully. You'll see the picture of Scully when you put in Darkness Radio in the App Store search, and download Scully. It has everything there. Everything and anything having to do with Darkness Radio is there. And you can even connect to the website, darknessradio.com, right off the app as well. And you can connect to Darkness Events. You can see everywhere we're going to be. October 18th through the 20th, we'll be at Chicago Ghost Conference. And we'll be hanging out there. I'm doing a conspiracy theories talk there.
Very fun.
Yeah, I'll be all paranoid and stuff too. It'll be fun.
Exactly. Everyone's going to leave your talk all paranoid.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I'll be shaking in a corner and just hysterical for everybody. And then January is the Jericho Cruise. It's the Rock and Wrestling Rager out there in out there in the Bahamas.
You guys always have a great time.
Oh my gosh, that cruise is so fun. You have no idea, Mallie.
I know. Maybe one day I can go.
I wish you would. I wish you would. It's bring the mister too. We would let you.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh. Not only do you have wrestling on the cruise, which to me is amazing.
Right.
This year you have some of the older wrestlers from WCW on.
Okay.
So not only do you have the NWO, you've got Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac, but you've got Ric Flair himself.
Oh, Mallie. My God. The mister would love that.
Yeah, the King of Drip.
He loves Ric Flair. He was Ric Flair for Halloween a couple years ago.
Was he?
Oh, my God. His costume was awesome, except he left this little trail of feathers everywhere he went
from
his boa. But no, and he kept doing the woo thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you got to.
Yeah.
And although at the end of the night, you don't have a voice.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how Ric Flair did that for years and didn't end up hoarse. But Ric Flair will be there on the ship. And then check this out, Mallie.
Okay.
The special guest host for the entire cruise is Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh.
Yeah. Talk about special celebrity power there. And of course, Chris himself is running around. He's got the Fozzie, the rock band. He's wrestling. He's doing everything. He's even driving the ship.
Wow.
Occasionally, yeah. You know, when you've got your own cruise, you can do whatever you
want. Exactly.
There's less than 10 cabins available for this deal.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's practically sold out. So if you want to get yourself a cabin on the cruise, ChrisJerichoCruise.com, or just go to darknessevents.com, click on the link, get yourself a seat there for a seat. like that's all you get. You're just
going to
have
go to the movies.
Yeah, you're gonna have a deck chair. That's what you're going to sleep in the entire time.
Well, you will if you can't get a cabin since there's less than 10 left.
There's less than 10 left, so it's either a deck chair or nothing. You just sleep up on the deck.
Nice.
You don't need your room anyways.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's too much to do, I mean, from...
Right.
Sun up to sundown, so it's just a deck chair, and that's it. That's all you get. We got lots of stuff going on for Supernatural News today. We've got one lonely phone call. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. So we'll have the one phone call today. We'll mix it in somewhere in the program.
Okay.
You know what's funny is in our Voices from Beyond line, when you look at the Google Translate, you know, it looked like the caller said, "I hate Tim and Dave." I was like, that's sweet. I love it. Bring it on. But it didn't. It just said, "Hi, Tim and Dave."
But that is funny, though.
Yeah,
it
is.
What if that did it for everyone?
That would be awesome.
You start to get a complex.
Well, Dave might. I wouldn't.
Well, that's true. You kind of just brush everything off.
I do. I kind of enjoy
you
it.
I know. I was going to say, you would probably like it.
Like, yeah, bring it on, punk.
You could do your rebuttals.
I could, yeah, I could do my little thing. Hey, speaking of, you know, the second episode of your podcast is coming out soon.
I know, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for helping me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. The first episode, by the way, is up and going and has been. It's called On the Rocks with Mallie Fox, and it's available on YouTube and soon coming to Roku and Stitcher and iTunes. We'll let you know when that's coming.
Yeah,
but
working on it.
Yep, working on it right now. But if you just go to YouTube and look for On the Rocks Radio, ROX, On the Rocks with Mallie Fox, you can subscribe right now. And the second episode will be dropping here very, very soon.
Yes.
Yeah, so look for that. We had a good time with it.
Yeah,
so,
we did.
Yeah. So that'll be...
Drinky.
A little drinky. The fortune teller this time.
Yes.
Yeah, we can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Very appropriate.
And we played a fun game.
We did. Oh, God. I don't even know if we can talk about it.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't. Yeah. But it was fun. So everyone will have to just listen to it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a... whew, yeah, that game. Boy, oh boy. I'll tell you this much. You can't have grandma and grandpa or you can't have the kids around for that game.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's a party game. That's for sure.
You could turn it into actually a drinking game, couldn't you, if you got the answer wrong?
You could, yeah.
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 Hmm.
You could, yeah.
Got more ideas going in this little noggin of mine.
See? Now you absolutely have to tune in to the episode to find out what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yep. So just go to YouTube, On the Rocks with Mallie Fox. That's the name of the ROX, but
yes,
that's the name of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to it. Let's get to Supernatural News. Actually, I'll start her out here.
Perfect.
I'm trying to think of what story I should start with here. We should start out with some sort of a bang here.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Let's do this.
Okay.
NASA has photographed an eclipse on Jupiter.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. An amazing new image taken by NASA's Juno spacecraft shows... Oh, it's not a massive shadow. It's you know, Jupiter's been working out, Mally, and nobody's really really acknowledged Jupiter's work.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes you get Jupiter shamed. And
okay.
That's not, you know, Bill Maher did this whole thing and it's been kind of controversial. And I know James Corden had a comeback for it, but
mm-hmm.
but Jupiter really has been working hard. Nobody's really commented on Jupiter's weight loss lately.
Okay.
Yeah. But it turns out that NASA's Juno spacecraft shows the massive shadow created by one of Jupiter's moons as it passes between the planet and the sun. The breathtaking photo was reportedly snapped last week as the probe was performing one of its periodic close passes over the planet. Thanks to some fortuitous timing, it managed to catch the moment in which Jupiter's moon crossed in front of the sun. It daintily crossed in front of the sun, Mally. Daintily.
Daintily?
Yes. And cast a mighty-looking...
Mighty-looking, huh?
Mighty-looking shadow onto the gaseous giant. They make it sound so rude.
Right.
It really was quite... stunning to see. Since the sun appears much smaller from Jupiter and is a rather sizable celestial body, the combination results in a considerably sharper shadow than what one might see during such an event here on Earth. Oddly enough, while most people online were content to simply marvel at the majesty of the image, some conspiratorial observers actually cried foul over the photo, arguing that it was fake because they could not see the moon in the scene. Well, it's being modest, I think, really, is what it comes down to, Mally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not everybody just gets all up in that camera and shows everything. You know, we've become that kind of society. I think, you know, you got to leave something to the imagination.
Maybe it's just a tease.
It might have been.
Yeah.
You know, just an honest little tease was all it really was. And I think people ought to just be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. Speaking of videos,
uh-huh.
The Navy has confirmed that UFO videos show an unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Okay.
This is kind of important, you know, when it comes to... Because let's just say aliens aren't ones to come out and flaunt it in front of the camera either. They're a little modest,
mm-hmm.
as it were.
Yeah.
The United States Navy has confirmed that the much-discussed trio... That's hard to say. Much discussed trio of UFO videos that appeared online at the end of 2017 and in early 2018 are genuine, and that the footage shows what they consider to be unidentified aerial phenomenon. That would be a UAP. A WAP? What? That doesn't. That's probably not a good saying.
Right.
The remarkable admission was made to John Greenwald of the website The Black Vault, oh, a good friend of ours, in response to an inquiry about the three clips, one of which is the tantalizing Tic Tac video. I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
Nope.
It's a commercial. It's someone's got bad breath and they hand them a little box. I'm kidding. That's not mm-hmm. No.
Got it. Tic Tac. Got it.
Yeah. That were filmed by Navy pilots during training exercises and were released to the Stars Academy in conjunction with the blockbuster New York Times piece from December of 2017 that revealed the existence of a Pentagon UFO program. Joseph Gradisher, the official spokesperson for the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare, told Greenwald that the Navy designates the objects contained in the video as unidentified aerial phenomenon. You can go ahead and go do-do-do-do-do if you want, because Dave's not here this week.
Right. I mean, that was never my thing.
No, I know. He did it last week for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And it was like somebody had set his britches on fire. He was quite pleased with himself.
I mean, it's very cute and it's catchy.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's not my thing, really. I mean, yeah. But he really went with it. I mean, right? he sold it.
Well, he's very talented, though. He can do voices. He can just automatically go into a song. So, you know, that's more his thing.
His demons all sound like Rolf the dog. Really, I don't know if you know that or not. They really do. He's got Rolf the dog and Snally, and that's pretty much it.
No, he can do the like the redneck about bring me back my cow when the alien takes it. Remember that one he used to do, the bit?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I know. Well, it's been a long time since I've been on Darkness Radio. So we're opening up the archives with me.
You might want to blow the cobwebs off of that one. Yeah. Dear God.
Or a Scottish accent. Well, you used to do the Scottish accent, too, yeah. Where it just sounds like an angry man.
It is, yeah. It sounds more like I'm having some sort of intestinal trouble. Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys are the talented ones.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Talent isn't really something that's been used in conjunction with my name. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, we're just going to be positive.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Oh, okay, so John Grunewald went on to explain that the UAP designation is used because it provides the basic descriptor for the sightings and observations of unauthorized and unidentified aircraft and objects that have been observed entering and operating in the airspace of various military-controlled training ranges. The response has, as one can imagine, caused a stir in the world of ufology, where the term UAP has been adopted by many as a substitute for the much maligned acronym UFO. That said, one should note that Gratischer never said that the objects in question were actually connected to anything extraterrestrial and that the nature of the objects remains at this time unknown. Be that as it may, the Navy statement has sparked headlines around the world this week, with many trumpeting them as yet another official confirmation that UFOs are real. Well, in a sense, that may be the case. The answer to what UFOs are, of course, remains as elusive as the phenomenon. Do 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 phenomenon. Do 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 phenomenon. Do 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 itself.
There we go.
There, we got it out of our system.
Yep.
Adding another intriguing twist to this latest development surrounding the videos is that they apparently should be still classified, as Gratischer indicated that the Navy has not released the videos to the general public. This odd addendum will undoubtedly further fuel the considerable speculation and heated debate that has been unfolding in UFO circles over the last several months with regards to the provenance of the pieces of footage, as well as how and why they wound up being revealed to the world in the first place. So there you go.
Hmm.
Yeah. Interesting stuff about UFOs.
Uh-huh.
UFOs there. Been fishing lately?
I don't like to fish.
I'm not either.
I just don't like to do the bait, those little worm things.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a big fan. And I don't have patience. I know it's very relaxing for people, but I can't sit still with, you know what I mean? Just sitting there enjoying life. I can't.
I don't blame you. Since I've developed the arthritis in the old hands, I'm not one for bait and hooks.
Yeah. And some of those people get up at the crack butt of dawn, you know what I mean? They're like,
oh yeah, yeah, I can't do
there before even the sun comes up. No, thank you.
Yeah, anything before noon, I'm pretty much.
Yeah. I like vampires.
Yeah. 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 Anything before noon, I'm pretty much out.
Uh-huh.
One Norwegian man though, let's just say he caught an interesting looking fish. I'm going to show you. This is great radio, by the way.
Perfect.
You can see this fish.
That is a weird looking thing.
Yeah, it is.
Looks like it's just a head.
That's what she said.
Timmy.
I know. This fish is bizarre looking. It's almost like a cartoon fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. A young man fishing off the coast of Norway reeling in a rather jaw-dropping catch in the form of a fish sporting enormous eyes. I'd say Betty Davis eyes, but they're not really.
That came to mind when you said that.
Yeah. But if Betty Davis had eyes like this, they'd call her in for a bad thyroid. Uh-huh. They really would. Oscar Lundahl reportedly snagged the odd creature during a recent deep-sea fishing trip near the Norwegian island of Andøya. Although the aim of the outing was to catch some halibut, and he did indeed, a different denizen of the deep wound up being the talk of the trip. According to Lundahl, he had four hooks on one line that was submerged at a whopping 2,600 feet with some mackerel attached as bait. When he suddenly felt something quite big tug on the line. Wouldn't be the first time he felt that. If you know what I mean.
And there's Timmy.
Yeah. The fisherman began furiously reeling in the catch in a fight that lasted an astounding 30 minutes.
That's just too long for me. I'd be like, done.
Just after 2 minutes.
Too much effort.
Mally's taking a pull on her drink and going, that's enough of that.
Yeah. We done yet?
You can keep it whoever you are.
Yep.
Yep. 30 minutes of a fight as he pulled what he thought would be a halibut to the surface of the water. That's a hell of a fight. I know that. Mm-hmm. Much to his profound surprise, Lundahl soon saw what he thought he had caught, or soon saw that he had caught a bizarre looking fish that boasted a pair of monstrous eyes. Although he had never seen anything quite like it before, his colleague had and identified it as a species known as a ratfish.
Ew.
Doesn't sound like good eating.
No, it doesn't.
No. So have you ever caught the ratfish before? I know that's a German accent and yeah. They're Norwegian. Jawohl. Alas, the creature did not survive its encounter with Lundahl.
Aww.
But yeah, well, 30-minute fight in the deep. But thankfully, it did not go to waste as the young man subsequently ate the fish, which he described as a bit like cod, but tastier.
Huh.
The thing doesn't look like it. It's all eyes.
It's a strange, like, strange-looking thing.
Yeah, you've got no body to it.
Nope.
It's almost all head and all tail. The little bit of body.
Yeah. Not a lot of meat on there.
No. I mean, you know, good eating, Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
Well, at least the guy knew, the other dude knew what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's like,
he had seen it before.
That's a ratfish, yeah. It's a good eating.
It's strange.
Tastes like cod. That's mm-hmm. like half the fish out there.
He's like, I do like cod, though.
Yeah.
I like my fish and chips.
It's a decent.
If it's breaded and fried, it's delish. I mean, how I am with all seafood. Breaded and fried, I'll eat it.
You know, I'm not a big fish person. Like lobster and shrimp, I'm good.
Yeah.
Not a big fish guy. Like cod, I'm fine with.
Right.
On occasion.
What about like walleye or halibut?
No.
No?
No. And I really can't do tuna and salmon.
Like, yeah, I can't do salmon. Yeah. Tuna I can do, but as like tuna fish sandwiches, because you got mayonnaise and bread and lettuce and other things to kind of cover it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, it's not, I don't know what it is. It's not my thing. And it's bizarre, but you know, you put a well-caught steak in front of me,
uh-huh.
and I'm good to go.
Or how about a pork chop?
Yeah. Pork chops are good. Yeah. Hey, speaking of, you got a pork chop story in front
of you,
don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
So a man cooks pork chop that resembles Freddie Mercury, and then he eats it. So, because you're not going to let a good pork chop go to waste.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. They don't give pork chops Oscars, but a British man recently purchased one that could rival actor, what was the guy's name? Is it Rami? Rami Malek?
Yeah. Rami Malek, yep.
Yep. In its portrayal of Freddie Mercury. Derek Sims was cooking dinner for himself and his wife when he suddenly looked at the chop frying in the pan and saw an image of Queen's lead singer staring back at him. Scrolling down. I've never seen anything like it, the 47-year-old engineer told the British news agency SWNS. I've cooked a lot of things and lived a lot of years, but I've never seen my food resemble a celebrity before. Sims and his wife Donna took photos of the pork chop, but it wasn't long before another one bit the dust, if you get our drift. Get it?
I get it.
You're just kind of silent, so yeah, you left me hanging.
No, no, not really. I was trying not to groan.
Oh, okay, so your German accent on a story dealing with
Jawohl.
Norwegians.
Jawohl.
We looked at it for a minute or two, but we were both hungry, so I ended up eating it. He said, I'm a big fan. I never saw him live, but I would have loved to. Oh, I never saw him live. I was like, wait a second, how old's this dude?
I've never seen him live.
I've never seen him live.
Never truly live.
No.
No.
Never enjoyed life. While some might say seeing an iconic singer's face in your dinner is a miracle, science attributes it to pareidolia, the human tendency to see patterns in randomness. Researchers at Northwestern University say the human brain is wired to look for familiarity and meaning even in the most abstract squiggles. This phenomenon... Oh, are you going to do it? There we go. Allows human to, say, look at a baseball cap and a fedora and know right away that both are hats. And, that's the end of it.
So what if he's wearing a beanie with a propeller? Do I know if that's a hat or do I think he's a helicopter?
Well, you would probably think he's a helicopter and you'd want to go over and spin the little thing.
I would. I'd want to see if he'd take off. It's just me, though. That's how I am at that. So, Mally.
Yes.
I got to update our listeners about a certain little contest that we're doing with BetOnline AG.
Okay.
We have this contest that we're involved in, Dave and I, with football picks, right? Okay. And last week, no bueno. We didn't do all that well. I mean, we did well, 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I mean, you know, as far as our picks went. And, we did okay. But I think this week, by process of proxy, we're doing okay. I think our picks are okay. And let me tell you what our picks are for this week. And
are you going to jinx this now since you're saying what your picks are going to be?
No.
Okay.
No. We didn't pick on the Thursday game this week.
Okay.
And Dave and I didn't. But here's our picks. And this week, we're introducing the lock of the week. This is the one, the Stone Cold Lock, Steve Austin, who we're playing against, obviously, along with Adam Carolla and some of the other personalities here on Podcast One. But this is the lock of the week. This is the one that, let's face it, when we're talking, can't go wrong. This is the one that you can put your money down on BetOnline AG.
Okay.
You're not going to go wrong. This is the one that you're going to win. Our lock of the week, the New York Jets are taking on the New England Patriots. This is what I'm saying, folks. New England by a mile. If you've watched the Patriots this year, you know for a fact New England's on a roll. They've got the team this year. Their defense is shoring up. With the addition of Antonio Brown and the offense over there with Hogan at wide receiver as well, the running game shoring up, everything with New England, everything is solid. Brady is on fire. Everything's going. Everything's moving in a perfect direction with New England. They're a lock pretty much every week, but especially this week against the Jets, who don't seem to have things quite moving in the proper direction this year. The Jets are on the road against the Patriots. That's the lock of the week as far as our picks go. But here's what we've picked for this week, and this is what Dave and I have picked for this week for the contest at BetOnline AG. And you may be saying, Tim, what are we talking about here? Well, here's the deal. Each week you can bet along with us at betonline.ag. And this is what we're doing. As you bet along with us, we take, and if we win with our 5 picks, and we get, let's say 5 out of 5, and you bet along with us and bet your money along with us, 5 of our winners, or 5 people who have bet along with us, each get $100 apiece, or we give away $500 each week.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. As the winning show, we get 5 listeners that went along with us. There's $5,000 season-long charity contest. So basically, we get $5,000 to give away to charity if we win at the end of this whole season, Mally.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in this thing to win. We're tooth and nail with these other shows on Podcast One. So here's the deal. We're out for blood.
Makes it sound like you're so tough.
We're taking on Corolla. We're taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're taking on these other shows. We're going to beat them. That's just all there is to it. You can join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge. So you can follow everything on hashtag SportsNetChallenge. But these are the picks that we picked for this week. Dallas over Miami. So Miami's on the road taking on Dallas. We picked Dallas in that one. New Orleans is at Seattle. We picked Seattle. All right. Again, our lock of the week, New England at home against the Jets. We picked New England. This one, you guys might be rolling your eyes, but trust me on this one. Trust me on this one, Mally.
Uh-huh.
Our Minnesota Vikings are at home against Oakland, and we picked Minnesota. Now, you may be saying, Tim, I watched that Green Bay-Minnesota game, and it was a rough one to watch. What happened to your Vikings? I don't know. That's all I can say. But you got to have a rebound week. And Mally, there's no better time to have a rebound week than right here in Minnesota.
True.
This week against Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it's this week. This is the week that Minnesota comes back and wins that game. I almost guarantee it.
I like how you throw an almost.
Well, I can't. That's not the lock, obviously. Okay. New England was the lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then L.A.'s on the road against Cleveland. Normally, you don't bet against the home team, but by gosh, Cleveland is your hot mess over there in the AFC. All of a sudden, they went from playoff favorite to playoffs. And of course, L.A. is red hot right now. So L.A. is our pick over there against Cleveland. So your teams this week for us, Dallas, Seattle, New England, Minnesota, L.A., those are our picks for this week. We want to know who you're picking as well. Join in on the conversation and put your bets in right now at BetOnlineAG. NFL, college football, the action continues to heat up this week with big games on the schedule that you are not going to want to miss out on. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnlineAG, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. You can sign up for a free account and make sure to use the promo code PODCAST1, and you can get a 50% sign-up bonus when you do so, so you can play along with us. Now, some of those big matchups that we were talking about, and they do include Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston at L.A., New Orleans at Seattle. Again, one of the games that we picked on. The Rams at Cleveland, another game we picked on, and Chicago at Washington. We picked on other games, and we told you about those games. Now, college football this week, there's some big matchups as well. I'm going to tell you one that I picked on, not officially for our contest, but one of the ones I'm looking forward to, Michigan at Wisconsin. Now, Mally, you know I pick on Wisconsin quite a bit.
Yes, you do. Uh-huh.
I like to say it's a land of serial killers and Packer fans, and there's nothing good between the two of them. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm rooting for Bucky Badger this weekend.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, nobody... I mean, I know you're rooting for Michigan.
Right.
Right?
God bless those Lions.
Well, this is the Wolverines.
Oh, Wolverines.
Yeah, this is
see?
College.
Sorry, college.
But, you know, it's a battle of number 10 versus number 14. It's going to be a hot matchup in college football. It's a much anticipated matchup. But let's just say I'm rooting for Bucky Badger. No offense over there, Miss Michigan. But just saying that I think Bucky Badger may have this one. Just saying. It's home field advantage for Wisconsin. So that's my pick going in. When you go to betonline.ag, make sure that you sign up right now under the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign up bonus. Join us over there and get your bets in. Play with us, play with Dave and I. Get your bets in and get eligible right now for that $100 little win if, you know, if Dave and I happen to be the winners this week of our charity deal. I'm just saying, you know, we might win a little something, something. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget the promo code podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus, because we're going to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're going to beat Adam Carolla, because that's the bottom line, because Timmy D said so. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook extra. Pluto TV, Mally.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched any Pluto TV? Have you gotten a hold of Pluto TV? Have you put it on your televisions yet?
No.
Oh, you should, Mally. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 television channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card, and you don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. I'm just wondering, what are you waiting for? You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV. I have it on all my Apple TVs in the house here. Smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else that you stream. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all for free. No credit cards are required or needed. No sign up. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. What are you waiting for? By gosh, never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today. Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennis. Along with me is Mally Fox on this Saturday, Supernatural News Saturday. Let's jump back into it, shall we, Mally?
Sure.
I have a absolutely disturbing story.
Okay.
For you. It's too bad Dave isn't here, because I'd kind of like to read this story to him.
Why?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, he's got this, you know, fear of death, right?
Yes, he does. Very much so.
And one of the things he's always said is he's a little afraid that you kind of, when we die, we're kind of just in the coffin.
Yes.
And we're kind of stuck in our bodies.
Yep.
I read this story and I was a little horrified.
So then you're going to just share it with all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to spread the...
Yeah, I'm going to spread the love.
Yeah.
Or as Nutella says, spread the happy.
Yes.
Corpses move for more than a year after death.
Oh.
In a coffin.
Okay. Yeah.
This according to scientists. When the coffin's a-rockin', Mally, don't come a-knockin'. That's what this article says.
Uh-huh.
Long after rigor mortis has set in, human corpses actually move their bodies significantly. That's in quotes, according to forensic researcher Allison Wilson. Wilson revealed this disturbing fact after using time-lapse cameras to capture the decomposition process. Yeah, of a donor body at the Australian facility for taphonomic experimental research, otherwise known as AFTER, near Sydney.
Uh-huh.
Taphonomy refers to the study of how organisms biodegrade in death. The so-called body farm, currently home to 70 dead bodies, where she works, was founded to help forensic scientists learn more about the decomposition process in order to aid crime scene investigations. One body she observed was buried with its arms so close to its side, and yet later were found opened away from the sides. Yeah. So, you know, if you happen to be in a room with a dead body and it happens to move, don't worry. It's no big deal. What we found was that the arms were significantly moving, so that arms that started off down beside the body ended up out to the side of the body. Wilson, an undergraduate student at CQ University in Cairns, told Australian news site ABC. She thought she'd find some movement early in the decomposition process, but was not expecting to see it 17 months into filming.
Wow.
Yeah. So even 17 months after death, the body is still moving. Wilson now believes the shifting relates to the process of decomposition as the body mummifies and the ligaments dry out. Dr. Macon Euland, deputy director of AFTER, added that some movement is also caused by insects as well.
Ew.
As, yeah, there's a little something to unnerve you, as well as gases filling the body cavity. Previous studies at AFTER have found that the human remains break down in different ways and at different rates depending on location. Their researchers are focused on how these findings impact police investigations. Knowing that body movement can result from the decomposition process rather than scavengers or original placement will be important when it comes to determining what happens, particularly if this movement is much greater than first believed, this according to Euland. So there you go.
You know, it would be kind of funny in a sick sense of sick way, mm-hmm. is that if you left it in your will that before they close the casket when no one is around, make like scraping marks on the top of the lid so that if your casket is ever opened, it'll make it look like you're buried alive. I was just thinking of that when you're talking about the body moving.
Oh no.
Could you imagine?
Oh.
It's like your last joke.
Your very last joke.
They open it up to exhume your body for something and you've got scratch marks like you're buried alive.
And just one of these things where both hands are up like you've been scratching at the inside.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, no. Well, on that sick note.
This is probably why I don't have children.
Probably, yeah. They'd be traumatized for life.
Yeah.
You just say, careful or mommy will bury you in the backyard.
There we go.
Yeah. Let's take our break. When we come back, we'll tackle more strange and supernatural news, and we have a phone call. We'll decide who's got a story for us, and much more. It's coming up next on the best in paranormal talk radio. It's a Supernatural News Saturday here on Beyond the Darkness. Hey guys, I want to tell you about a game that Dave and I have been playing for quite a while. It's called Best Fiends, and I don't know how quite to describe this game other than completely a joy to play. I've been into this game for quite a while, and I don't quite know how to put it down. That's just the way to describe it. I don't know quite how to put it down. I go to put it down, but I get into it, and I just want to pick it up again and again and again and again. And I have a busy life. I got stuff to do, but I just have so much fun with this game. I don't know how to put this any other way. I just have so much fun with this game. And I encourage you to pick it up and play it, too. It's called Best Fiends, F-I-E-N-D-S. It's like friends without the R. Fiends, Best Fiends. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain, enjoy breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. It's got puzzles, it's got a character collection, and that's the best way to describe it. It's like, you know, those games where you're crushing candy, but you're collecting points at the same time, you're getting through puzzles. It's a casual game that anyone can play, but it is made for adults, and it's a great game. You got to try it to discover it for yourself, and you're gaining points at the same time. I myself am up to level 89, and I'm having a great time with it, and I'm collecting characters along the way. I'm opening up new levels and getting new characters, and I'm leveling up with those characters, and as I collect new characters and level those characters up and get further along in the game, I'm finding myself wanting to do more and more in the game. And there's lots of bright colors and visual styles and designs. And I just get hooked on this game. I just want to keep going and going and going. And then before I know it, I've passed the time and I need to put it back down again. You'll just have to see it for yourself. That's what keeps me invested in this 5-star rated game. It's the characters, it's the challenges, it's the puzzles itself. You know, you get to the point, and I get to this point where I've got kind of an analytical mind where I need to string these different fruits together, these little strings of fruits, and solve puzzles. I have a very, I don't know if it's a left brain mind. I think it's a left brain mind where I need to sort these puzzles together, and I need to get these strings together. So I get hooked on that. That's my thing. You'll see too. Download it right now. It's a free download. Best Fiends. Look for it in the Apple Store or look for it in Google Play. You have to see it to believe it. Best Fiends. I'm telling you, maybe you can hear it in my voice, but I love it. I absolutely love this game. I can't say enough about it. I'll tell you this much. It doesn't require the internet to play. You don't need it when you step outside to play. It's great for traveling. You can play it anywhere, whether you're on a plane or the subway, or even if you're just traveling along. Maybe you're in a rural area where you don't have access to the internet. That's okay. You can play it right there on your mobile device or on your iPad or whatever it is you're using. It's great to play wherever you have it, and you don't necessarily need the internet. It has 100 million downloads globally. It's wonderful. I'll find myself playing the game at home. I'll find myself playing the game when I'm, it's weird. Just when I'm waiting for, you know, at the store in line, I'll take time just to play like a level real quick and I'll put it away. I'll find myself playing it at odd times just for a little bit or sometimes for a long time. It's funny because you can play just a level at a time and then put it away. It's a great game that way. You don't have to devote a lot of time to it. You can play it for a short amount of time. You can play it for a long amount of time. I encourage you to try out Best Fiends. Engage your brain with some fun puzzles. Collect tons of cute characters. It's for adults. Some kids can play it. You can actually share it among the family, and you can have little competitions among your family too if you'd like, or you can have competitions against Dave and I if you'd like. We're on the game as well. It's a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Download it for free right now on the Apple App Store or Google Play. And that's Best Fiends. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Go check it out right now. Best Fiends on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go play it today. Check it out for yourself. Let us know what you think. Email us. Email Dave at darknessradio.com. Tim at darknessradio.com. Let us know what you think about the game. I'm telling you, Dave and I are having fun with it. We're having a great time with it. We've turned our families onto the game, and we're all playing it. We want you to play it too. Try it out today. Best Fiends. It's on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Go try it today.
It's time to turn it up with your new favorite podcast, Expeditiously with T.I., here right on Podcast One. Join the rapper, entrepreneur, family man, and activist as he bridges the gap and sheds light on important social topics and much more in an authentic eyebrow-raising dialogue that might make you want to pull out your dictionary. Download new episodes of Expeditiously with T.I. every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness for a supernatural news Saturday. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, who's over in France, bombing them, I believe. He said something about revenge for World War II and why didn't you stay in it? I don't know. Ooh. I don't remember what the... It was very mean. It was very mean-spirited. No, I'm kidding. No, he's over there experiencing the catacombs, I believe. Uh-huh. Is one of the things they were doing. And other such paranormal adventures. If you want to join any of us around the USA or around the world, you can simply just go to darknessevents.com or check out our app. And you can figure out where we are around the country. I know Chicago Ghost Con is in October, and that's one of the places we'll be. But again, darknessevents.com for wherever we're going to be around the country or around the world. Keep up with us. That's one way of doing it. But yeah, Dave's over in France. He'll be back next week. In the meantime, we've got Mally Fox with us from On the Rocks with Mally Fox.
Hi, hello. Mally. Hello, hello.
You can check out Mally's show on YouTube by looking up On the Rocks Radio or On the Rocks with Mally Fox and subscribe right there at YouTube and follow there. New episode of On the Rocks with Mally Fox coming out shortly, probably within the next week or
yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So it should be a great episode. So be mm-hmm. sure to keep your ears and eyes out for that as well. Interestingly enough here, we've got a couple of stories here. You want to start us off here, Mel?
Sure. Now, did you see that article that was about 30 funny tweets about Scooby-Doo from parents who have questions?
I heard about it.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually quite cute with the tweets. But so Scooby-Doo is now 50 years old.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? The first episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Premiered on CBS on September 13th, 1969. Over the next 5 years, the lovable animated dog and his band of mystery-solving friends became bona fide cartoon icons. Their adventures still entertain kids and their parents to this day. In honor of the anniversary week, they rounded up 30 funny tweets from parents about Scooby-Doo. Now, I'm not going to do a whole 30, so I'll just pick a couple here.
Sure.
So, like this person, Sammy Rhodes, said or tweeted, "One of life's greatest mysteries is why Shaggy ate Scooby snacks as well." Abe at Cheese Boy 22. I like that name, Cheese Boy.
Cheese Boy.
Cheese Boy. "How did Scooby and Shaggy always end up in a group alone together? That's some messed up leadership, Freddy." The Walking Dead. How the heck did Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Inc. Solve so many crimes when they thought a guy in a sheet on a unicycle was a real ghost? So there's like several of these that people need to go check out because it's quite funny. And we found this on the HuffPost.com. But there's a lot of tweets about Scooby-Doo. But yeah, 50 years.
Wow.
I know. I'm feeling old, right?
Yeah. Especially when, you know, when Scooby-Doo is a part of not only your childhood, but your adulthood as well. And mm-hmm. you're passing them on to nieces and nephews and kids and... Yeah, that's an institution right there.
Yeah. I used to love those. And then when they would have, like, celebrities on.
Oh, yeah. The Scooby-Doo movies was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that where they would have the different celebrity each week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what was it, the Scooby-Doo movies where Adam West and Burt Ward were on, where it was the first time that I remember that Adam West and Burt Ward were actually on the animated Batman and Robin.
Okay.
That's the first time I actually remember them both being on the animated Batman right. and Robin.
I remember, let's see, Phyllis Diller.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I'm sure a lot of people are like, who the heck is that? And then the Mamas and the Papas.
Yep.
And then the Globetrotters.
Yes.
That was one that was like always on.
Yes, the Globetrotters were always mm-hmm. on. Yeah. Yeah, they were fun. They were a lot of fun. Actually, seeing them on the Scooby-Doo movies made me want to see them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to?
No, I watched them on Wide World of Sports, but I never saw them in person.
Mm.
Yeah. You know why? Because they were always beating the Washington Generals, and I figured, why go see them in person when I can watch them beat the Washington Generals on TV? And have Howard Cosell calling the game.
Oh.
Yeah. That was the most entertaining part of it all.
So there's another story out there. It's about Brad Pitt. Hello, mm-hmm. handsome. He's still attractive though. I'm telling you, he was on the Ellen show. It was on Facebook, the like a snippet of the show.
Yeah.
And he was in the audience and he was funny.
Did you see that he and Ellen had dated the same people?
Yeah.
and that actually when they had met, what was it? When they had met at Melissa Etheridge's, pool party.
Uh huh.
And Ellen was hitting on his girlfriend at the time, which is kind of funny.
It's, right. Yeah.
But he said he was honored by that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I always think of him on the episode of Friends where it's the Thanksgiving and he's making fun of Jennifer Aniston's character.
Oh, yeah.
How they had the Rachel Hate Club.
Yep. Yep.
That was awesome. Oh, okay. So Brad Pitt, he opens up about his faith journey. He says, "I cling to religion." Actor Brad Pitt opened up about how his faith has evolved over the years and how he's very optimistic about the possibility that everyone is connected. The Ad Astra star revealed that he's gone through everything when it comes to religion. "I cling to religion," he said in a wide-ranging interview for the October issue of GQ. The 55-year-old Oscar winner was raised in a devout Southern Baptist family in Missouri. He told GQ reporter Zach Barron that he has always questioned Christianity, but it worked at times. Pitt has spoken in the past about dealing with Christian guilt over what he should and shouldn't do. When he was in high school, his family started attending Christian revival meetings, where Pitt said he would feel very moved by the Holy Spirit, then go to rock concerts and feel the same fervor. His religious questioning continued when he enrolled as a journalism student at the University of Missouri in Columbia. He dropped out of college during his last semester to pursue an acting career in Los Angeles. When I got on my own, I completely left it, and I called myself agnostic, Pitt told JQ. Tried a few spiritual things, but didn't feel right. Pitt said he then called himself an atheist for a while as an act of rebellion. I wasn't really, but I kind of labeled myself that for a while, he said. It felt punk rock enough. Eventually, he shifted into a more spiritual mindset. I found myself coming back around to just belief in, I hate to use the word spirituality, but just a belief in that we're all connected, he said. Like Pitt, a growing number of Americans have become disenchanted with organized religions. About 19% of all Americans were raised Christian, but have since left their childhood faith, according to the Pew Research Center. Pitt's new movie, Ad Astra, deals with the theme of finding connection. In the film, Pitt is Major Roy McBride, the son of a famous astronaut father who went missing decades earlier while searching for extraterrestrial life. McBride's dad, who strongly believes in both God and aliens, may now be attempting to wreak havoc on Earth, and the son is tasked with going deep into space to reconnect with and stop his father. In early discussions about the movie, Pitt said he and director James Gray had talked about the premise of the inability to connect. GQ's Barron reflected that the film was ultimately pretty optimistic about the possibilities of connection. He asked where Pitt landed on that question. Pitt said, I'm optimistic about the possibility. I'm very optimistic.
And Ad Astra, of course, opened on Friday, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see the movie. I haven't seen it yet.
I've just seen commercials. It looks good, though.
Yeah. And you know, it's I find it interesting in that, you know, Brad Pitt doesn't do a lot of sci-fi.
No.
Not a huge sci-fi guy. So in order to lure him, I think, into that genre, it has to be a pretty good script.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, he did do World War Z.
I liked that movie, though.
It has to grow on you, I think.
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was very action-packed.
I just thought it was, yeah.
But didn't he make it, though, in mind that he wanted his children to be able to watch it?
Yes. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. What's intriguing is that, you know, you've also got Tommy Lee Jones there, too. Uh-huh. So you've got two really great actors who are playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to it. I think in the premise is very good, too,
right,
with the movie. So I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing it. You know, I really do. I think Brad Pitt is an actor who's really grown too with age. Mm-hmm. I think he's really expanded his horizons and taken on some interesting roles and grown quite a bit too. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this movie too. I really liked him. Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, that's on my list to watch.
Yeah, I really liked him in that. Although, you know, I am finding that the last few Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez movies,
uh-huh,
he's kind of been a similar type character.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah. I you know, people may disagree with me, but I think it's the same, not maybe the same character, but the same aura to him.
Okay.
You know, the same kind of cockiness, swagger type deal. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think so. But People may disagree. I think that he's probably put more of himself into it.
Okay.
That's probably one way of looking at it. But, yeah, that's just how I look at it, I guess.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's good stuff. Either way, it's good stuff. I think that Brad's added a different direction to his career.
That's good.
Yeah, which is good. I enjoy him.
Good.
I definitely enjoy him. Some guys who you may not enjoy on film, Mally.
Uh-huh.
Some Dutch YouTubers. I don't know if you're into Dutch YouTube or not.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it generally never is. You know, there's this, the big storm Area 51 deal,
yes,
kind of fell apart.
Yep.
Yep, like sand through your fingers. ended up not going mm-hmm, going off. The organizers basically moved it to a building in Las Vegas and decided to do it somewhere quote unquote safe, you know, where they wouldn't be liable for anything. That didn't stop some Dutch YouTubers, however, from trying to get into Area 51 because why not?
Right.
Which was probably everybody's worst nightmare. A pair of men from the Netherlands seemingly got an early start on storming Area 51 this week when they were arrested for trespassing at a government facility located near the secretive military base. Tees Grenzier and Govert Sweep, which is the greatest rock name ever if you try to take it on, were reportedly taken into custody by authorities after they were caught having driven around 3 miles into the restricted Nevada National Security Site.
They got 3 miles into it?
Yeah, there must have been a guard asleep somewhere.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, or they were kind of like baiting them in, just
right,
like,
what are they going to do here?
Yeah. I have a feeling that they're going to do this a little bit, you know, into the weekend.
Right.
They're just going to let people get a little further into the site.
Closer.
And then boom, landmine. No, I don't
know. Not landmine.
Oh, I don't know. You know, they might have a little fun with them. The two young men likely did not help their case when they admitted that they spoke English. Whoops. Ooh. And fully understood the signs indicating that trespassing onto the property was illegal, yet chose to ignore them. Probably not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
When questioned by deputies from the Nye County Sheriff's Office, the duo explained that they were YouTubers from the Netherlands and that they wanted to look at the facility. Don't we all?
Yes.
Officers subsequently observed that the car contained several cameras, a phone, a laptop, and a drone. After obtaining permission to search the contents of the camera, authorities saw that the duo had recorded footage from the inside or from inside the national security site. Grenzier and Sweep were then arrested for trespassing onto the property. In a jailhouse interview with a Nevada TV station, Sweep explained that their misadventure had been partially inspired by the Storm Area 51 phenomenon, but that the pair had no intention of actually trying to break into the base and are, in fact, set to return to the Netherlands on September 19th, which is one day before the much-discussed siege. He also groused that they were still in custody for what he called such a small thing, and argued that they would have been released by now if I wasn't a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, that's what got him in trouble. Well, that is a matter of conjecture. The pair is probably lucky that they only got arrested for trespassing, since filming inside a secret military base likely could have led to a more serious charge. Time will tell whether they wind up being the only people to run afoul of the law due to the Storm Area 51 craze, or if Grenzier and Sweep are just the first of many individuals who throw caution to the wind and in turn find themselves in jail. As for the YouTubers, their arrest has made headlines in their home country and turned them into something of a cause celebrity, with one politician calling on the country's Minister of Foreign Affairs to secure their release lest they rot away in an American cell. You have got to be kidding me.
I know. I wonder if they're going to be made an example of, though. You know what I mean? So that other people don't do it. I mean, what do you think the fine? What is the fine for trespassing on government property?
I don't think it's that much.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's significant,
right?
A couple hundred dollars, but
oh, that's it.
Yeah, but it's not.
Well, that might be worth it then. I was thinking like jail time, thousands of dollars.
I don't think it's any more than $500. To be honest with you,
right?
Let's say, oh, no. You know what? It's here on this sign. Hold
on. Okay.
No trespassing, authority, maximum punishment, $1,000 fine, 6 months imprisonment or both.
Okay. That I won't. Yeah. I wouldn't do it for that.
I don't think it's worth it either way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, for a couple hundred bucks, that might be interesting.
And if you're...
Just to say you got on the property.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're...
But I don't look good in orange, though.
If you're not a citizen, though.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you're looking at some
like international.
Yeah.
I don't like how that guy basically said, you're screwed. You're in America's jail.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, what?
You
get three hots in a cot.
Yeah. Rotting away in an American cell. It's not like you're in a third world country.
Yeah.
I mean, relax there, Dutchie. you're okay. There's no rats crawling over the tapia or
right.
You know, I don't know if they think we just set it up for debauchery
when
we find the biggest guy we can to you know, have a little backdoor fun with you, but you're okay. You're going to be all right. I don't know. Just bizarre. I was going to say, speaking of backdoor fun, but that's not.
Oh, jeez.
How about speaking of bizarre phenomenon?
There you go.
An amazing new Detlef Pass project retraces the doomed hiker's steps. An outstanding new online presentation allows users to follow the proverbial path of the people who perished in the mysterious Detlef Pass incident, the infamous 1959 event which saw nine hikers die under unexplained circumstances during a journey through the Ural Mountains. Has fascinated fans of the strange and unusual for the last 60 years. And now the Russian news organization Ruply has created a remarkable website which provides one of the most comprehensive and well-produced examinations of the case to date. Dubbed Detlef Pass, or rather Detlef's group's journal, the last page, the massive multi-platform interactive project utilizes information culled from the group's diaries, interviews with residents, investigators, and experts, as well as drone footage of the remote pass. This material has been weaved together into an incredible presentation that takes users through each day of the hikers' ill-fated journey with diary entries, personal photographs, and video segments popping up on the screen as the virtual expedition unfolds. Along the way, the presentation explores a number of various theories as to what led the group's demise by way of video interviews with experts. Additionally, the project features modern-day footage from many of the sites that were visited by the Detlef group as they unknowingly headed towards their doom. Having spent a bit of the afternoon exploring the immersive presentation, it can be said that the students of the legendary case are going to want to carve out some serious time of their own to delve into the Detlef group's journal, as it provides a veritable feast of insights into the infamous incident.
Now, that case is very interesting to me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Kind of like also like the Roanoke. What the heck happened? You know what I mean? There's all these theories and
stuff.
But yeah, no, that's very interesting.
It is indeed. It's, you know, I can't tell you how many different documentaries I've watched on it. It is. And it seems, you know, just when you think you have a theory as to what happened, there's something completely different out there that shows you something completely different.
Do you think we'll ever find the answer? Like they'll ever?
Hard to tell, because there's a governmental element to it. And as long as, you know, you have a government that doesn't want to completely cooperate with you, it's hard to tell, you know. Hard to tell. Let's see here. Speaking of governments that don't necessarily want to work with you, we'll go to China, where a river monster has been revealed, Mally.
Oh.
A sizable anomaly.
Is it better looking than that fish story you just did?
No. No, not necessarily. Oh. A sizable anomaly spotted seemingly swimming in a Chinese river has apparently been revealed to be far less monstrous than it initially appeared. Footage of the oddity lurking in the Yangtze River caused something of a stir when it appeared on social media in China and garnered millions of viewers. Soon, additional videos of the monster from around the same location in the city of Yichang popped up online and served to deepen the mystery. The primary suggestions for what the anomaly could have been centered around either a large water snake or a piece of debris. Unfortunately for those in the proverbial creature camp, it would appear that the monster may literally be trash.
Hmm.
Oh, that's not nice.
Well, I guess I'd rather have it be trash than a body.
Yeah, that's true. That's because a new video has emerged showing workers in Yichang hauling a long, dark object out of the river. According to one media report, the item was later identified as an abandoned rubber band dumped into the water. It's kind of a huge rubber band.
Yeah.
Considering the size of the massive rubber band, which is apparently used for constructing inflatable boats and had been wrapped in canvas, as well as the location where it was found, it would seem to be a safe bet for the source, the monster of the Yangtze River. Of course, that conclusion could come undone should new footage emerge of a similar-looking creature in the Yangtze River now that the debris has been removed. There you go. Interesting stuff. That's for sure. We have our Voices from Beyond line available. If you have a story that you'd like to give us, whether you've seen a water monster in your area that looks much like the one in the Yangtze River in China, or whether you've seen a ghost or you've seen some sort of creature roaming in your backwoods that looks like Sasquatch, the number for Voices from Beyond is 651-300-4977. Maybe you have a story like Steve from California.
Hey, Dave and Tim. This is Steve from California. I was calling because I had an experience, you could say, at one point in my life when I was younger. I lived in a movie theater. It was a singleplex theater, so it had one screen. And it was rather old. It was an original theater back in the town that it was in. It's been there for years and years and years. Either way, I slept on a futon on the stage behind the screen. The owner was nice enough to let me rent out the area, and I was his nighttime security. Either way, one night as I'm sleeping, I wake up to what sounded like someone walking on the stage. It was a wood stage with an empty floor below, so you could hear the creaks. And I couldn't get up. And everyone chalks it up to sleep paralysis. But this is the only time this has ever happened in my life. It's never happened before that. It's never happened after that. It's just this one time. And I kind of chalked out, who's there? I have a knife. Because I did. I sleep with a knife. And then I kind of worked my way up to an elbow. And then like 30 seconds later, I was able to completely get up. But I've never been able to explain it. It might have been sleep paralysis. I'm not sure. I don't know. But that was my experience in an old-time theater, hearing someone possibly walk on the stage and just not being able to move at all for a minute. Not a minute, you know, a couple seconds, and then being able to work my way up. I was able to talk, but I wasn't able to move. It was absolutely terrifying, and I hope I never have to go through anything like that again. Thanks for letting me share my experience. I got two more, but I know you guys got the time limit, so... I hate it, and I know you hate it, but there's stories for another time. Keep up the good work. I'm absolutely loving Beyond the Darkness, and I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car's worth is when it comes time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a TrueCar cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas. Welcome back to the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness on a Supernatural News Saturday. Tim Dennis and Mally Fox in on Supernatural News Saturday, giving you your stories. Mally, you got a couple more left for us there?
Sure. Okay. So this story... British survey asks, who should respond if aliens contact Earth? An interesting survey recently conducted in England centered around a question that has long been debated by scientists and UFO enthusiasts alike. If aliens contacted Earth, who decides whether or not we should answer? This fantastic scenario was reportedly posed to 2,000 Britons as part of a research project conducted by Oxford University. The results of the study indicated that the public is wary of allowing politicians to take the lead if ETs reach out to the human race. Specifically, only 15% of the people thought that elected officials should be responsible for determining how to respond to alien contact, and a scant 11% said that the decision should be put to a vote. Remarkably, trusting their fellow citizens to determine the best course of action wound up being the least popular option among the various possibilities offered in the survey. As for who did fare well, scientists were by far the winner with 39% support in the survey. And in a testament to the confounding nature of the UFO phenomenon, 23% of the people simply said they couldn't decide. despite the poor showing for the prospect of having a vote on whether or not we should respond to aliens, the survey did provide something, an answer to how such a referendum might unfold in England should a special election be held, as researchers also asked people with which option they would choose. A whopping 56% said that they would be in favor of responding to the aliens, while 13% erred on the side of caution and opted to, presumably, ignore the incoming interstellar call. Considering that we have no idea who or what would be on the other line, perhaps leaving the decision to scientists is the best answer.
So there yeah.
we go. What do you think?
I wouldn't want a government official in front of an alien.
No.
Or the army, for that matter.
No. Yeah.
Maybe a scientist, I think, would probably be best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they got that right.
Or maybe Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster. Yeah. Yeah, she'd be a close second. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder, though, if they do have, like, protocol. Like, the government has protocol. Who is going to be the lucky one to respond? If this should happen, you know.
Mark Hamill.
I was going to say Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah. With a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably the best. Yeah. I was going to say... David Prowse is dead now, isn't he?
I don't know.
Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to, Mark Hamill, I think, as Luke Skywalker. Just show up in full Jedi regalia.
You should start a petition.
Mark Hamill to greet aliens.
Yeah.
Although, with my luck, he'd show up dressed as a Joker.
Oh.
Yeah, it would be a horrible, horrible first impression.
So, another story I have, there is a UFO group who rented a billboard in Montana.
Oh.
Yeah. Motorists cruising down the highway in Montana are being asked to contemplate the implications of UFO disclosure by way of a new billboard ad unveiled last week. The signage, which is reportedly located near the city of Helena. My nephew lives there.
Really?
I should ask him if he's seen it.
Maybe he put it up.
Well, he's like 10.
Oh, maybe he's got more allowance than you know.
There we go. Yeah. Let's see. Helena and is expected to be spotted by a whopping 46,000 drivers a month. Features a still from the much discussed Tic Tac UFO video with Navy Commander David. Is it Fravor? Fravor's quote? Something not from this world alongside the image. In addition to that eye-catching combination, the words UFO disclosure is in progress are emblazoned on the ad, as well as the suggestion that drivers get ready and get informed. The billboard also directs observers to the website for the Jesse A. Marcel Library, a UFO information center and meeting place located in nearby Montana City. Library founder Dr. Richard O'Connor conceived of the billboard rental, which costs $2,500 and lasts for 6 months. In keeping with the proverbial hall of mirrors that is the UFO phenomenon, O'Connor's... Oh God, every story I'm reading has the word phenomenon now. I know. Yeah. O'Connor says that when he first shared a photo of the billboard on his Facebook page, it was immediately declared by one person to be fake. Rest assured, the ad is very real, and he hopes that it is the first of many such signs to appear along highways across America in an effort to raise awareness about UFOs, as he believes that it's just a matter of time before we are told about the reality of the phenomenon. So if you are near Helena, go check it out.
Hmm.
This billboard.
Hmm. Billboards, you say?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's not too bad, though. $2,500 for 6 months?
No. Oh, I take it it'd probably be cheaper than most markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, how many... aliens are going to see it out in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like Montana would be a huge draw for
See, I
anybody.
Could see it. I could see aliens wanting to go there because you have so much land where there isn't, you know, people.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So they just, I get your theory. Yeah. You want to avoid humans. They're not great, you know. I if I were an alien, I wouldn't, knowing that mob rule is so nasty, I wouldn't want to I wouldn't want to get near him either. I'd probably want to hang out in Montana for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Ride a horse.
But Helena. I don't know why I'm having a hard time with that word. It's actually a really cute little downtown.
So you think the aliens want to do some shopping?
Possibly.
Yeah.
They have a cute little coffee shop.
Get some spurs. Some chaps. Maybe a cowboy hat.
Yeah, because who doesn't love chaps, right?
Yeah. Aliens would love them. Get a little hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little cowboy hat, little vest. Maybe a little sheriff star.
You're reminding me of that movie with the alien. It was just like it was a guy's name. It was the two guys from...
Roger.
No, it wasn't. Was it Roger? No, stop. I'm going to have to look it up. But it was very cute. It was the two British guys, and they pick up an alien.
Wears like a...
No, I'm going to have to Google it. Is it? But I didn't think the movie was called Roger, was it?
I thought it was.
Well, maybe it was. It was a great soundtrack. Are you looking it up as we speak?
I am, yeah. Let's see. We've brought the show to a complete halt.
Yep, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Because all of a sudden it popped up in my head. But remember, he was wearing chaps and the cowboy hat?
Yeah.
And it was the guys from, what was that horror movie? It's kind of a comedy with the zombies and the how they always meet at the pub. I'm not very good with words today. Words are hard. I'm drawing a blank with everything. The actor Simon something.
Oh, Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
No.
Okay.
Look up Roger.
Well, you read a story and I'm going to look it up.
Look up Roger the Alien, I get American Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's where you're thinking. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Okay.
You do your thing.
Well, speaking of aliens, we go right to a viral driveway alien. Yeah, so we're talking about the driveway alien. It might have finally been unmasked.
Okay.
The alien at the center of a bizarre video that went viral this summer may have been unmasked by way of a rather odd bit of investigative journalism. The weird piece of security camera footage seemingly showing some kind of creature frolicking in a Colorado woman's driveway popped up on Facebook back in June and quickly captured the imagination of people online, in large part due to the entity's uncanny resemblance to the Harry Potter character Dobby. Featured on countless national and local news programs, the curious video conjured up considerable speculation as to who or what was filmed in the woman's driveway. Alongside the usual paranormal explanations, such as an alien or an elf, skeptical observers postulated that the creature could have been a puppet or, failing that, simply a skinny child wearing something on its head. Specifically... many people suggested that the entity was, in fact, the woman's son, although he denied playing the role of Dobby in the video and claimed that he was on the couch with his mother at the time that the oddity appeared. Nonetheless, the television show Inside Edition recently visited the family home in an attempt to put a denial to the test, noting that the predominant theory was that the alien was really the boy dancing in his driveway with underwear on his head. And believe it or not, no alcohol was involved.
Oh, jeez.
The program actually convinced the youngster to don a pair of boxer shorts on his noggin and recreate the video. Although the two pieces of footage were clearly filmed using different cameras, a side-by-side comparison of the scenes certainly seems to suggest the boy was behind the alien, even if he continues to deny having a hand on the viral sensation. It's pretty darn close, although there's a difference in body size and thickness. The alien is much smaller and thinner. The boy is definitely a lot bigger, but yeah, they're pretty similar.
So that movie, it was called Paul.
Oh, Paul, that's what it was. Yeah.
And then the ones I was drawing a blank on, it was the Shaun of the Dead that I was thinking of.
Yeah, okay.
And then Hot Fuzz. Those were hilarious movies. Yeah. But yeah, Paul.
Yeah.
The little alien with the chaps and the cowboy hat.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
I knew that was going to drive me nuts if I didn't find the answer.
There you go. All right. Gravediggers at a massive cemetery in Iraq are sharing some chilling ghost stories, Mally. Workers at an enormous cemetery in Iraq claim that the site is home to countless ghosts that have been known to attack gravediggers and leave them deeply unnerved by the experience. Located in the city of Najaf and measuring a jaw-dropping 2.3 square miles, Wadi Us-Salam and the Valley of Peace is the world's largest cemetery. The sprawling graveyard is believed to be the final resting place for millions of individuals who have perished in the region over the last 1,400 years.
Wow, that's old.
Yeah, it is. Considering the sheer number of people buried at the cemetery and its rich history, it's understandable why one might suspect that the location could be haunted, and if grave diggers working at the site are to be believed, it would appear that is the case. In a fascinating piece for Al Jazeera, several men employed at the cemetery shared chilling accounts of their own personal encounters with spirits and possible supernatural entities during their time on the job. One worker, Haider El Hatemi, recalled how a shadow sneaked up behind me and hit my head violently, was the quote, badly injuring the man and leaving him feeling as if the ghost still haunts my body. The possible possession left his family penniless when they attempted to cure the man by enlisting a shaman, and his wife eventually filed for divorce due to his increasingly erratic behavior. Another gravedigger also claimed to have been attacked in a nightmarish incident in which he was slapped by the body that he was burying. Jeez, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're just digging along and all of a sudden this body jumps up and slaps you? Weird. When I bent down, her hand slapped my face so fiercely that I was left petrified, Murtaza Jawad Abo Sebi said.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't get this story. I would just be destroying it.
Noting that the body was tightly bound in a sheet, so it should have been impossible for such a strange thing to occur. The weird event so profoundly impacted the young man that he spent the next 5 years replaying the moment in his head and physically harming himself. After attempting suicide on a number of occasions, Abu Sebi was eventually cured of the haunting experience thanks to psychiatric treatment. Eerily, some gravediggers say that the cemetery is not only haunted by ghosts, but is also the home to the notorious supernatural creatures known as the djinn. I saw it at night jumping from grave to feed on freshly buried bodies, revealed Hani Abu Naim, who has worked at the site for over a decade, and says that he carries a weapon with him at all times, in case he encounters the entity, which is known to locals by various names, including Tantal Bzeba, and Garia. We have all heard about Tantal for decades, revealed Abu Zebi, explaining that the job and in turn the stories are passed down from generation to generation. Be that as it may, it would seem that not everyone is cut out for digging graves at the eerie site, as he noted that the turnover is quite high. Our colleagues run away if the ghost gets involved in an incident. However, with Iraq currently struggling with unemployment, many shaken gravediggers, including Abu Zebi himself, have found themselves forced to return to the cemetery for work, despite their certainty that the site is home to spirits that may do them harm. So there you go. Wow. Quite disturbing.
Yeah, very.
Quite disturbing. There's a video out there that shows the Virgin Mary painting, rather, crying at a beleaguered Chicago church.
Huh.
A church in Chicago on the precipice of foreclosure seemingly received a supportive message from above when the painting of a Virgin Mary at the building began inexplicably crying over the weekend. The amazing sight was reportedly first noticed by a worker at the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church on Sunday morning before services were set to start for the day. The tears on the painting were described as being an oil-like substance that some in the parish believe could have had healing powers. As is often the case with such mysterious and possibly miraculous occurrences, word of the crying painting quickly spread throughout the community. On Sunday alone, around 300 people flocked to the site to see the weeping icon and even more awestruck individuals, including a number of church officials, journeyed to the house of worship the following day. What makes the crying painting particularly poignant is that the tears appeared during what has now turned out to be the church's final days. That's because due to the significant financial hardships, the building was actually foreclosed on in bankruptcy court this past week. Parishioners had hoped that the crying painting could have somehow saved the church, but this proved not to be the case, and it was subsequently sold to the bank to a different religious organization at Tuesday's hearing. The parish now has 75 days to find a new building where presumably the painting will be displayed prominently. Although skeptics will undoubtedly dismiss the tears as the product of some kind of natural phenomena. Go ahead, Mally.
Phenomena.
The timing of their appearance is...
See, it's like in every story now. It's sticking out.
It is, yeah. The timing of their appearance is rather uncanny, considering the precarious state of the church on Sunday. And while the crying painting did not wind up resulting in the building's foreclosure being delayed, we're guessing that it probably provided some solace to the heartbroken members of the parish poised to lose their place of worship.
That's sad. I never want to see someone lose their church.
That's true. That's very true. One last story here for Saturday for your supernatural news. There's a monkey mystery out there in Texas.
Really?
Yep. You know I love me some monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. An odd mystery has gripped a small city in Texas as numerous residents have reported seeing a monkey roaming through their neighborhood and causing a ruckus. That's the only kind of monkey you want.
Exactly.
Is a monkey.
Who wants a well-behaved monkey?
Nobody.
No, I
Nobody
know.
Nobody wants
They're
a well-behaved
fun.
Monkey. That's right. You want a monkey causing a ruckus. The puzzling case reportedly began early Monday morning when authorities in the community of Santa Fe received a call from a woman claiming to have just seen the creature outside her home. Recounting the sighting on a TV station, Patricia De La Mora said that she had been woken up in the middle of the night by a loud storm and subsequently heard strange coming from the backyard. That doesn't sound right.
No, I think there's a word missing.
Yeah. She said, "I can't sleep. It's like 2 o'clock," she recalled. "I look out the window and I see it was in there. It was a monkey, a big one." Frightened by the bizarre sight, De La Mora briefly watched the curious creature and then quickly closed the curtain on her window because "I didn't want him to see me." Unfortunately, the out-of-place primate was nowhere to be found when police arrived, and a lengthy search of the area yielded no sign of the animal. If authorities had any doubts about De La Mora's account, they were likely squashed the following day when another person from the neighborhood called with a similar report. As with the first case, attempts to locate the creature proved futile, and it soon became apparent that there was a full-blown monkey mystery unfolding in Santa Fe.
Mm.
That's the name of my new album, Full-Blown Monkey Mystery in Santa Fe. I just need to take a moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. As several residents began sharing their own accounts of spotting the creature on social media, one particularly unsettled individual declared that they were forced to hide in their car for 20 minutes to avoid being attacked by the creature, and another person claimed that the meddlesome monkey tried to steal their cat.
Hmm.
Well, you know those monkeys, they can't get enough pussy. Just saying. Whether these stories are genuine or just people having a laugh online about the mystery is uncertain, and one of many questions that authorities are unable to answer. They concede that they're actually not even sure what kind of primate the creature could be, as De La Mora said she had observed a very large monkey, but a spokesman for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department asserted that it is a chimpanzee. And understandably, the lack of any photos or video of the animal has only deepened the mystery. Despite the phantom-like nature of the primate, authorities believe it does exist, as a spokesperson for the Santa Fe Police Department stated, that "I'm not saying that there is no monkey. In fact, I'm sure there is one on the loose." To that end, the prevailing theory for the origins of the creature is that it is an illegal exotic pet that somehow escaped, Until the case is closed, residents are being cautioned against approaching the animal if they see it and are asked to report any sightings to the police, who are likely hoping to put an end, are you ready for this, Mally, to the proverbial monkey business. Monkey business. There you go, Mally. That's how we're going to wrap up today's Supernatural News.
Ah.
With our monkey business. That'll do it. That's it for Supernatural News for this week. Mally, I want to thank you very much for sitting in this week.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I always have fun.
On the Rocks with Mally Fox is available right now on YouTube. You can go to On the Rocks Radio or on YouTube, or look for On the Rocks with Mally Fox. It'll pop right up. Be sure to subscribe and get your monthly dose of On the Rocks Radio. A new episode will be dropping here within the next week, and you will be able to hear our dulcet tones as we imbibe a little and talk a little bit about lots of stuff.
Yeah.
The paranormal, Nutella, a little bit of gossip, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
While having a cocktail.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You'll laugh a little, you'll cry a little, you might...
I don't know if there's crying. There's no crying allowed.
You might pee yourself a little, too.
Well, that.
Yeah. But there's all that going on. Be sure to subscribe at YouTube so that you get updates as to all that stuff, as to when you'll get new episodes and all that. So that'll do it.
Yay.
Tomorrow, we've got an exciting program as we're going to play a little game of What If with you tomorrow on the program. It's an interesting program at that as well. We're going to talk about different things like dinosaur parks.
Okay.
We're going to talk about what happens if we run out of antibiotics, which available antibiotics, because I don't know if you know this or not, Mally, but it just so happens that we're running out of antibiotics that'll kill germs.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Or kill bacteria.
Right, right.
We'll also talk about immortal humans, and will we be able to be immortal one day? We'll talk about alien contact. We'll talk about what would happen if a nuclear war broke out tomorrow. We'll talk about a lot of what-if scenarios with our guest, Mike Pearl, and we'll talk about his book, The Day It Finally Happens, Alien Contact, Dinosaur Parks, Immortal Humans, and Other Possible Phenomena. It's all coming up tomorrow on the best in Paranormal Talk Radio, Beyond the Darkness. For Mally Fox, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Beyond the Darkness.